This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QUEERFAM for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. This episode is sponsored by Feathersnap. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feathersnap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or if you're like us living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high resolution camera that connects to an app so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's Feather snapcam.com.
Oh my god, you guys.
Hi,
welcome to If These Overs Could Talk.
And I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
And you know what? We have been, for the last 2 hours, almost 3 hours.
It doesn't even sound like that long when you put it in those terms.
3 hours is a very long time for Jamie and I to be working on the book together. And the fact that we're both sitting here and no one's dead is amazing. No.
I mean, we always are fine. We always get along. What are you talking?
I'm just kidding.
I mean,
I'm just kidding. No,
but we've been working on our book. By the way, we're writing a book.
We're doing our homework.
We've been working on our book all morning.
Chapter one, nailed.
Slaving away at this book for you people.
Ben, our publisher at Lit Riot Press, is like this. They did chapter one? Like, he's super proud of us right now.
He doesn't know.
No, because we're not communicative with poor Ben. We got it, Ben.
He knows
doing it.
We're working. We're working. Oh, God.
Well, listen, I'm excited for today's episode.
Me too.
Before we get to our guest, I do have to say we have, shockingly enough, we have our first Tiffany and Carissa update already.
Already. They're on it.
That's going to be at the
when
end
we,
of the show.
When we set this up, I was like, they're never going to update us.
I know. I was like, we're launching a segment that's never going to happen.
This isn't going to happen, but they're really on it. They're actually updating us, and it's exciting.
And we have our first update that's going to happen at the end of the show.
Yeah. You guys have to at least, you know, like, even if you don't want to listen to the whole episode, like, fast
what
forward.
Are you going to tell them to fast forward and save artistic? No. Okay, so if you're going to do that, leave it running so we get the streams. And then a half hour later, come back and listen to that section.
Oh, that's a fun way to do
that
it.
That way it looks like you listened.
Yeah, they're going to love that.
Critical.
Just then, listen to the whole episode. I mean, we're going to stop talking eventually and we're going to get our guest in.
Okay, so today, Romaine.
From the Derek and Romaine show.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah. Remember, we were on, for those of you who don't listen to Derek and Romaine show, A, you have to.
They're so fun.
They have like an empire.
Yeah, they're a radio show, mm-hmm. You know?
And they turn it into a podcast sometimes, but they beat us in the podcast awards, and we're bitter about that. I think we'll talk about that in the interview.
But they're a GLAAD award winning. Did you know this?
Yeah. Why do you have to talk about all their awards?
Well, I want to explain them.
We didn't.
They're
win.
A GLAAD award-winning gay and lesbian duo.
All right, I think the content's going to get better if we invite Romaine in. Should we do that?
Let's just get her in here because she's fun.
She is.
Yeah. Well, hello there.
Oh my God, we have Romaine of Derek and Romaine fame.
She's famous.
I'm not famous.
And they have their own, like, basically radio station, podcast, their empire.
Yes, it's my empire. I'm building an empire. I'm inspired by Cookie from that show Empire.
Oh, who is?
Just call me Cookie. I will not stop until I've built an empire.
I love this.
But we mostly know you because last year you beat the crap out of us. You beat the pants off us in the People's Choice Podcast Award.
I don't know if we have to say beat the pants off.
I mean, did we win, Jamie?
We didn't win.
We won.
But we did post our award speech after we lost.
We sure did. We sure did.
Yeah, I actually think, and this is going to be, this is going to sound sad, but I'm pretty certain that our award acceptance speech was almost word for word the exact same speech we did the year before, even though we didn't plan it that way. It just came out that way.
So I don't know if
because you have your whole rapport and the way you talk with each other.
Jamie, did you happen to notice that she not only beat the pants off us, but managed to just work in that they won 2 years in a row?
2 years in a row, yeah.
Yes. Well, tell us your elevator pitch about your family.
Yeah, who are you?
Here's how it started. I met my wife, Iris. She was a listener who hated me, but loved Derek. She thought I was obnoxious. I'm not even joking.
Doesn't it always start off like that?
Came to an event to meet Derek. She told me I was obnoxious and that she wasn't there to meet me. Like, literally, these are the words she said to me the first time we met. And so then I convinced her that I was amazing because that's
how'd you go about that?
Yeah, well, I want to know.
You know, I could be, like a listener call-in segment? I know you haven't seen it yet, but I could be very charming when I want to be.
It's coming. I see it. I charmed her
because she was hot and she was in the military at the time, so we couldn't.
So we started dating, and
I couldn't use her name on the air because it was still in the days of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Sure. So she became the drill sergeant on the show. We used to talk about her all the time.
I love a character name.
So we dated for about a year. Derek always tells me my timeline is way off, but let's say a year while she was far away and I was here. And then eventually I'm like, why don't you move up here? Leave the military. Come up here. You can't live with me because I don't want to be like a stereotypical lesbian.
Right. You got to take time.
You should quit your career for me.
You have to. 10 years, 10 years in the military. I'm like, come on up here.
Oh my God.
I'm like, and then I made her get her own apartment.
Wait, is this the part where you're charming her? I'm waiting on that part.
So then I spent all my nights at her apartment and never at my own.
Of course.
And it was really for a year. Like, I'm like, you have to have your own apartment for a year just to make sure that we're in the same city that we still like each other.
Right. It's a smart move.
Right.
Totally.
So we did. And about 6 months in, I said, you know, we should buy a house.
Because we should try to live together.
Now I'm like, I've been dating you for, let's say, a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
And
you no longer have a career or a home.
Yeah.
But now's a good time to buy a property together.
Let's do that. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, and I think I want to have a baby. And she goes, moving a little fast, are you? And I'm like, well, yeah, maybe. But this is what I want to do. I had a plan. I had a 5-year plan. This was in my 5-year plan.
You're a planner.
I have a question.
You and Robin have a lot.
Did Iris get a say in your 5-year plan?
No. Mm. It was my plan. I just kind of charmed her into it.
Sure. Right.
Because this is what I do.
Right. What if she had said she wasn't on board? Would you have lost her?
I would have been like, well, I'm going to have a baby with or without you. So
we've talked to some people who did that.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to be like, I had made a choice. And when I'm the kind of person, when I've made a decision for myself, that's it. This is what's going to happen.
I admire that because I'm the wishy-washy one.
Did she want kids? She was just sort of like,
no, she did not want kids. She was like, I don't think I'll be a very good mom. And I'm like, I disagree, but I'm like, no, I think you'll be a great mom. She had a really hard relationship with her own parents. Uh-huh. So I think that really had a big impact on her thinking. And I was like, no, this is fine. We're good. We've got this. Let's have a baby. And so then I started doing all the crazy research because I'm a researcher.
Sure.
And I'm like, all right, I got a plan. This is what we're going to do. Let's do it. And she did not want to carry a baby.
No,
she didn't. Okay.
No, she's like, it's going to hurt.
She's in the military.
I know. For someone in the military, my wife is the biggest pussy of them all. I'm not even exaggerating. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. I'm young-ish. I can do this. So I'm like, I got this.
I'll be the best there ever was at it.
And I told her. I said, and if we decide to have another one, you're in the batter's box.
How old were you?
I was 29 when I decided baby's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Because my parents are very old when they had me. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest of 8 children.
Oh,
they had me in their 40s, like mid-40s. Oh. So my dad had already died from old age by that point.
Right.
My mom was getting up there. And I was like, I don't want to be an old parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But
is Iris your age as well?
She's 5 years older than me.
Okay.
So
okay,
she's a few years older. Yeah. So I'm like, listen, we got to get moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you always want to have a kid?
Yeah.
Like, have you known you were gay your whole life?
I have.
And you always wanted, it was never off the table for you.
No. And I'll tell you why. Because I came from a very large family.
Ah.
And my family, my siblings, while they are all much older than I am, we are very, very close. Like, we are a tight family.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. All of
you. Are they all, are you from around here?
No, we grew up in Wyoming.
That's amazing. I've never met anybody from Wyoming.
Most people haven't.
I am obsessed with Wyoming right now. It's like in the past 6 months, I've gotten obsessed with Wyoming.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really beautiful parts of Wyoming.
Right.
Most of it sucks.
Right.
But there are a couple of really beautiful places. And I will tell you, you've never seen sky.
Oh, yeah.
Like you
see. This is why I want to go to Wyoming.
So you always wanted to have a baby.
I always wanted to have a baby because I had a big family and I wanted to, you know, I wanted to have a baby.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to have a family.
Yeah.
This is part of my plan.
It was just always there.
This is it.
So you've researched and you're like, how are you getting your donor?
So we decided that we were going to go with an anonymous donor from a sperm bank.
Mm-hmm.
We played a lot of scenarios out in our mind. So we originally thought, well, if I'm having a baby, maybe we should ask Iris's brother to be our donor. But then I was like, that's just weird.
Right.
So we're not doing that. So then we looked at, you know, donor situations. Because I didn't want to use any of my friends. I like my friends, but I don't want any of them involved in raising my child.
Right. Like, it's muddy.
It's weird and it's awkward. And I'm, you know what? Raising a kid is hard enough with two people who may or may not agree on everything when it comes to child rearing. I do not need to add a third person.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then we thought about, well, okay, do we want to have a donor? We're going to go the sperm bank route. Do we want to have a donor that eventually our child could meet or not meet?
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, no. And I did it for purely selfish reasons. Again, I just didn't want to complicate my life.
Right.
Love that you're acknowledging that.
You want to keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah. You wanted your family to just be you and your wife and your kid.
Yeah, period. That's it. I don't need, down the road, if she wants to go and meet a sibling, she can do the sibling registry thing, blah, 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 whatever. If she wants to, because I have a daughter. But it really, like, I don't need any of that crap. I just don't. I don't need that extra stress of like, oh, one day is she going to grow up and think we weren't sufficient? And then she's going to want to meet her biological donor. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I don't need that shit. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife agreed. One of the things we agreed on. And we're like, yeah, we don't need to go. We do not need to overcomplicate an already complicated situation.
Right.
I don't think I've ever heard it explained like that. I mean, I think that's fascinating.
You know what? When my wife, Anne, and I were talking about this, we actually chose an anonymous donor the first time, and a lot of our conversation was, we don't want to complicate this. We don't want this to be, we want it to be just us. We want to be the parents.
Yeah.
Right.
And there is that in this, like, no, this is us and it's selfish.
But also,
and true.
When I think about the types of people who are making these donations,
right.
So a lot of these guys are like college kids.
They are all college.
They're getting their money to go party. Like, let's be honest about why these guys are doing this. Yeah. They're not. I mean,
by the way, that's best case scenario.
Yeah.
Because you could have some like creepy dudes who just want to like really procreate their seed and all that.
Yeah.
Well, those are the Facebook dudes.
And the thing is like, here's the reality. I'm thankful that they exist. I'm thankful that they made the donations or I wouldn't have the family that I do. But I don't know this person. I don't know anything about this person. If my child someday wants to meet this person, I don't want them to be disappointed by whoever the hell they're going to meet.
Yep.
I get that.
I'm like, I'm just not going to make this complicated.
Yeah. You know, and we think we all chose like such a thoughtful, wonderful person, you know, but who the fuck knows? Like, because they're saying whatever they want on these recordings.
Well, and it's also so true. That's the other thing too, is like you comb through like their background and you're like, okay, they don't have alcoholism, but it's like, we were going to switch. Like Mary was going to carry my egg. And because of some like FDA change, I had to do all that like psychological paperwork and I had to fill all this stuff out. And some of it I was like, I don't remember or know if my aunt was drunk or not drunk or like, I don't know. And I thought, no one's checking my work. And that was the first time it occurred to me that the donor that we had picked, I don't know if they're honest or not. And you'll hear the people at the banks will say, well, we've been doing this a long time and we think we're a pretty good judge of character. It's like, are you?
Come on.
Like some of these kids are actors.
You think the donor's calling mom to say, hey, mom, how did grandma die? Because I'm donating my sperm right now and they want to know.
But also, by the way, some of these guys are 23 years old. So maybe their dads are like 48. Their history hasn't happened yet.
Right.
I care about what happens to their dad in 15 more years.
Right.
If he dies at 58 at a heart attack.
But by the way, if there's anybody out there who knows anybody who ever worked at a sperm bank and would like to dish some details.
Especially an anonymous donor.
Oh my God, that'd come be awesome.
At us. We want your story.
Come at us.
I think it doesn't matter whether you're going through a sperm bank or if you're a straight girl having sex with some guy. A lot of people take leaps.
Yes.
And you know what? That's just procreation.
Exactly. Exactly. And the difference is when you decided to procreate, there was thought put into it. Right? So there's already a difference in the way you made your family.
Exactly. I got to pick and choose some things.
Right, right.
So are you talking about like the donor and all that stuff with your daughter? How old is she?
She's 11. Mm-hmm. It's funny. We are a very open communication family. By we, I mean I am. My wife, she's Hispanic, so it's a little bit harder for her just based on the way she was raised. But I have always been like, whatever you want to know, you come to me, you ask me anything, and I will tell you. I will give you an honest answer no matter what it is. So from a very early age, we talked to Romy about what a donor was. Because, you know, I didn't want her to get to a point where she was asking me, you know, why don't I have a dad or this. Mm-hmm. So we always just kind of explained. It was like baking a cake.
Yeah,
I had an egg. We needed some batter. We mixed it all up in my uterus and that made a baby. And that's how she came about. Like because I was like, how do you explain what the hell a donor is? I mean, over the years, we've brought her home books and things like that have also helped kind of explain some of that. And, you know, she... I have to give Romy credit. She could care the fuck less.
Yeah. Mm.
All these years I spent worried about it. She doesn't care. Yeah. When people ask her, why don't you have a dad? She goes, because I have two moms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, well, you had to have a dad. And she's like, no, I had a donor. And she just.
There was a cake involved and some batter.
She just, she's like, come on. It's not, you know, this is how it was done. It's not a big deal. Like, it's so funny to hear how she handles it.
She doesn't care.
She doesn't care. And when she was in preschool, she was the only kid with two moms. And she loved it. She thought she was so special. And then another little boy came in that had two moms. And she was livid.
Oh,
like,
how
she was
funny.
So mad. She's like, I cannot believe there's another boy that has two moms. It's not fair. She was mad.
Wow.
Yeah, I love that. She's like, you're stealing my thunder.
Pretty much. Yeah, she was
the different
pissed.
One.
So she never asked you about a dad. Like, dad. She never called people dad. Nope.
I'm like, do you want to see a picture of your donor? Because I have like a whole binder for the day she asked.
You made a binder. Okay,
of course
you did.
I'm like, I'm ready.
I haven't done that.
She doesn't care. She's like, yeah, I don't care. I'm like, wow. Okay.
Because my daughter's five and she's at the age where she calls everybody dad. She called her uncle this weekend dad over and over just to see what how he would react.
I wonder if she's doing it for that reason. You know what I mean? Is she trying to get a rise out of
people? She's confused about dad. She wants a dad. She says she wants a dad. Yeah. So like there's
Romy
whole thing.
Yeah, Romy never wanted a dad.
That's amazing.
But I think part of it too is I've always had really good male figures in Romy's life.
Right.
And we never let anyone call the donor anything other than the donor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so... Because like my mom is like, well, what about her father? I'm like, mom,
not her father.
Oh, it was a donor. And honestly, Romy, she loves having two moms. She thinks it's the greatest thing that ever
it
happened.
It is.
I mean, she's not wrong.
So I want to know, I'm going to take it back. You decided you wanted to carry.
Yeah. So I'm like, listen, sperm's expensive.
Yeah.
And I'm not wasting sperm trying this crap at home. I don't need romance.
Yes. No turkey. No turkey
like,
baster.
I don't care. We're going to go straight to a reproductive endocrinologist.
Yeah.
We're going to do this wham, bam. I want to get this done quick and easy. So I knew the women in my family were very fertile. So I'm like, this shouldn't take long. I went to a reproductive endocrinologist and he actually is like, well, actually, this is going to be harder than you think.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, why? And he goes, well, I have PCOS, which is polycystic ovary syndrome. And so I don't always get regular cycles. And he's like, yeah, this actually could be very hard for you. And I was like, great.
Wait a minute.
This is awesome.
Seven siblings.
I'm like, I don't like you. Well, he was wrong. Because we went in, we did IUI, and we were pregnant within one cycle.
Amazing. Wow.
Yeah. So clearly I was fertile. I think it was just meant to be. And
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like, because she doesn't even care about the dad. So.
She cares so little. Now, I got a question for you guys. Ooh. Do you guys have straight friends now that you never had before? Because I do.
Oh, because of parenting?
Because of parenting.
Parent
friends. Chin talked about that.
Yes. She talked about that in our live show. And I am just now, because my daughter's 5, so she's in kindergarten. So this is all new.
Can I give you the best advice?
Yes.
Get to know the other parents. And I'm going to tell you why, because they're going to become your lifeline in life. Yeah.
Like, I just used a lifeline yesterday because the baby was sick and I couldn't pick her up.
Yeah.
And her friend's parents picked her up and took her to their house.
So what we did, actually, I can't even take credit. So what we did is we were talking to another parent when Romy was still in like preschoolish. And we said, you know, we should get to know all the other parents because all of our kids hang out. They all love each other. You know, they want to have play dates, blah, blah, blah. So we did a girls' night out with just the moms.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, the group of moms that we first met, even though our kids now go to separate elementary schools and then they came back together besties. At middle school, we get together all the time. Our kids have maintained relationships for years.
Yep.
They are my tribe. And when it comes to parenting stuff, they're the ones I go to. I'm like, oh my God, is your kid doing this? And you get all the gossip about all the school problems because you get different kid perspectives. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Kids are crazy. I mean,
why did we do this?
I don't know. That's the question I
have. Now that I've done it, I'm like, what was I thinking?
Oh, God.
It's like so unfair. Like, we want them to, at least I want my kids to be like wildly opinionated. I want them to stand up. Yeah, right.
But then I stifle it like hell when we're at home.
Yeah, but don't do that to me. Shut up. You can do that out there in the world. But when I say no. Like, it's just like, what? How fair is that?
Well, and then they'll throw it in your face. Yeah. Like, Romy, I will be like, listen, you have to stand up for yourself. Don't let anyone push you around. You make your opinions clear. You don't back down.
Yeah.
And then I'm arguing with her and she's like, Mom, this is my opinion and I'm not backing down. I'm like,
This is not the moment where I wanted that to happen.
Yeah. I'm like, but wait, I'm the boss here. No, it's bad.
So you're about to head into that time.
Oh yeah,
that,
no,
like, middle school.
Oh, it's hell.
Well, this is what every parent says. Yeah. You think it's hard now?
No,
wait till they're teenagers.
Middle school is hard. I can already tell you. The biggest surprise of middle school has come in the form of the social pressures to switch from being a little kid to a big kid. It was almost instantaneous and really unexpected, and it came in strange forms. So, for instance, it started early on with I want to wear makeup.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm like, what's that? I don't even know what makeup is. Ugh, gross.
Does your wife wear makeup?
No, neither of us do. We're so butch. And our daughter is. So she's actually a good mix of butch and femme. Mm-hmm. She's unique. We got her like a little like, you know, neutral tones, barely can see it makeup.
Yeah.
Then it was, Mom, I can't wear any of this clothes from Justice anymore because it's little kid clothes. Yep. I need to shop at Hollister now. I'm like, oh, and now it's like, Mom, I have 3 Hollister shirts. I need more. Because she's like, I can't wear the same 3 shirts every day.
My kids are in uniforms and I love the crap out of it.
I'm so jealous.
They can kind of bedazzle the bottom. Like, it's like mostly just like a polo shirt.
Right.
They're supposed to wear like gray, black, or denim pants, but they seem to, like, my daughter's wearing a lot of leopard print and it seems to be fine. Like, no one sends her home. But I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah.
Because there's no, I don't want to get into Justice and all that.
Because let me tell you, it's a nightmare. Oh. But it's going to come in the form, for you, it's going to come in the form of makeup. I'm telling you right now.
Maxine
is going to be all up in the makeup.
Oh, no, I have to show you. I was showing
Jamie so girly.
My phone. She takes her phone and does these filters.
Oh,
and she's
already
doing these pouty duck lippy
things.
With like French berets and just like.
Oh,
and I'm
and then she'll do like the TikTok.
And she started hashtagging the photos.
Oh,
like,
no.
NYC kid and like city living. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you? What?
Yeah, that's how it rolls.
But where is that even? Like, I'm like, where are you getting
Does she even have a cell phone yet? Because that's the other big thing.
Well, like, sort of, but not really. Like,
yeah,
she has
cell phones are the devil. I mean, they're good, but they're bad. Like, Romy has very strict screen time set.
Yeah.
Like, it goes off at a certain time. She's not allowed to use it past that. Thank God for screen time. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Apple.
Thank you for those. Also, those.
I don't know anything about
those. Oh, my God.
Those.
I use those in my house, too.
You have time.
Yeah, you're going to want all of that stuff.
Well, but we just told my daughter that YouTube went out of business. So that YouTube has been out of our house since New Year's Day.
Really? Because I love YouTube. And the reason I love it is because I can actually watch my TV because my kid has no interest in our TV.
We watch YouTube.
We deleted
YouTube.
My kids were starting to get like a little aggro because of the YouTube. Like, he was just watching Minecraft videos and they were all, and he started talking to me like, whatever bra. And I was like, I'm sorry. I
Rose
was
too. Yeah, my daughter, like, same thing. And was like, like,
you can't have it.
She, my daughter put her hand up and turned her face away. Like, put your, like talk to the hand. Mom, no. She's five. I said, where did you learn that? Mm-hmm. No. Uh-uh. Online. YouTube is gone. Bye. Gone.
But kids don't watch TV anymore. They watch things online. Like, this is how kids.
We took cable away, and I thought it was going to be this big disruption in the house.
They don't care.
They
care
less.
They
didn't
care.
Notice. Yeah. Take the internet away, and the whole world would end.
Well, it's so. My daughter is only five, and I've noticed a huge difference in her since we got rid of YouTube. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, definitely. There was
now
big,
she's coming home,
change.
And she's like, Layla says she still has YouTube at her house. I don't know how.
It must be old episode.
Yeah, you're in trouble because that is a lie that you cannot.
I know.
Sustain.
You're not supposed to lie to them either. So we're fucked.
Oh, well, come on.
I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah. No.
So it's all going to come out. But by then, hopefully she'll be broken from YouTube and we can like start fresh with like, I don't know, screen time like you guys talk about.
All right. I have more questions for you guys. What will you do if your kid comes out?
As gay?
Yeah. Gay or bi or trans.
I will be totally supportive and happy.
Okay.
I would.
I would obviously be very supportive because, you know, I'm their parent. I love them. But I would not be thrilled. And we've talked about this.
I feel relieved hearing another parent say
that. Oh, I know.
But it's,
no,
but it's because of, like, I would be afraid everyone would think that my example caused this.
I get that.
Now, here's why I ask. Because my daughter at 11 has come out as bi.
Oh, okay.
What?
So now,
yeah.
So you're somebody who has kind of much more to say about this than we do.
Well, I never wanted a gay kid. I could have told you that all from the very beginning. Like, I hope my kid is not gay. And not because I not because I think there's anything wrong with being gay. Because I think being gay is great.
Yeah, we're obviously super gay in this room.
But okay, wait, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Did you, when you were having a baby, were you worried that because of your gay genetics, you were going to create a gay child?
No, I mean, yes. No. Because and I have a lot of gay in my genetics. Because like I'm the youngest of eight children. Four of us are gay.
I wanted to ask you that
earlier. I did too. Actually, I was never worried about that.
Yeah.
Half so, of you.
That's a pretty good ratio.
I mean, the chances of her being gay were probably pretty high. Just based on genetics.
I don't know if it's a genetic thing, but a lot of people think it's a genetic thing.
I think without question it's a genetic thing.
I think so.
Yeah. But I did not want a gay kid for a few reasons. One, I came out in high school in Wyoming, and that was hard.
I can imagine. Yeah.
And in college, one of my best friends was killed for being gay.
Oh,
so that
God.
Was, you know this story, Matthew Shepard from Wyoming.
Oh,
he was
my
one
God.
Of your friends.
He was a good friend of mine.
Oh my
so,
God.
You know, there's that.
And that was not just like killed, but a horrific,
horrific
oh
hate
my
crime.
God.
Story. And then the other reason I didn't want my kid to be gay, and this, again, I'm a very selfish person, you're going to notice from this interview, but I did not want my child to get away with what I did. Because my parents,
sleep
even though they
overs,
had,
is that what you mean?
Oh God, yes. My parents,
yeah,
oh
I
my,
love it.
My parents, while they had many gay children, they liked to live in a land of denial.
Uh-huh.
And I fucked my way through high school.
Oh no.
Yeah,
I mean, I had a great girlfriend at the time, so it was really only one person, but we fucked all the time.
That's
really?
Amazing.
Oh. They were like, oh, that's
jealous.
I would say she slept over at my house for at least two or three nights a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Starting at what age?
Junior in high school.
I had a girl.
So, you know,
yeah.
I'm like, and my daughter is me. She's a mini me.
She's
so
a
I'm
mini.
Like, I don't want her to be gay because she's
gonna, honest.
She's going to be ornery.
Yeah, but you're going to be
school,
open with her and...
I mean, you're a junior in high school and have that kind of a relationship. You're having sex. It's just you were able to do it in a safe way because you could just have sleepovers versus in the
sure.
back of a car. It's
yeah.
happening.
I mean, listen, I was having sex in cars too, but yeah.
Who wasn't? I'm just kidding.
I
mean,
wasn't.
I don't know.
But I
was
mean,
really
I think if you're, a teenager and you want to have sex, you got to get real creative. It can't just be that easy. Like, it was too easy.
Oh.
It was.
But more power to you for knowing.
Yeah.
And knowing who you are attracted to and like going for it because... I didn't know at that age. I was like doing all kinds of different. I mean, my mother listens to this, so I'm going to stop talking.
She was raving, Mom. All right, wait. So listen, I'm back to your 11-year-old. So she's a girlfriend or what? Is she just like recognize she has crushes?
No. So she had a boyfriend for the longest time. It was like a cute little like friend boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then she broke up with him to become a single Pringle. As she put it.
She said that?
And, then, and then a week later, she was taking bacon because she had herself a girlfriend. Now, here, and when all this is happening on my radio show, on Derek and Romaine, I'm talking about how I'm losing my shit over the fact that my kid's gay. And all of our gay listeners are like, you're the worst. Like, how can you be? Like, you're a hypocrite. I'm like, no. I'm terrified because I know what comes next.
Right.
Yeah. Like, she's going to have a sleepover. Some experimentation. With her girlfriend. Shit's going to go down. And my wife is like, Romaine, you're being dramatic. This is never going to happen. Fast forward to 2 weeks ago.
What?
Two weeks ago, my daughter and her friends hatched a plan to have a sleepover at one of their friends' house.
Now, do you know who the girlfriend is?
Yes.
Okay.
And her name is Emily. So they hatched this plan to have this sleepover, and then they're going to convince one of the parents to host it. Like, they had hatched the whole plan themselves in middle school. And then they're like, okay, now we're going to find an unsuspecting parent. They're going to make them host this sleepover. So they did. They got one of the, like, single dads. So all these girls are planning to go to their house. And I should have known better because I wasn't thinking. But I was like, I didn't think to ask all the names of the girls that were going. I knew it was a group of her friends from school, but I didn't think about it. So then on the way there, I'm like, hey, who else is going to be at this thing? And she starts listing off all these names. And then Emily's name is just kind of slyly slid in. And I was like, as in your girlfriend? And she's like, yeah, but it's no big deal, Mom. I'm like, okay. And I shoot this look over at my wife. I'm like, told you so. I knew this was going to happen. I knew. And so my wife is like, Romaine, they're too young. I know. Stop being dramatic. I'm like, who the hell knows?
11.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Things can happen at 11.
So then the next morning, I pick her up and I'm like, so where did everyone sleep last night? She's like, oh, well, two people slept on the bed. Two people slept on this bed. And then two people slept on the floor. And I'm like, and where did your girlfriend sleep? Oh, she slept in the bed with me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nope. That's it. No more sleepovers. I'm done.
Oh.
Done. Because this is my worst nightmare coming to life. I'm like, Iris. Hello?
Because she's you.
Because she's me. And I'm sure nothing happened because they're 11. But I'm not. I'm like, no.
I mean, this is not going to happen.
But here's the thing. This, like, it sets a precedent. And the thing is you wouldn't let them have a sleepover if it was a boy and a girl. And they were like, you just wouldn't. Nope. So it's like, I do think you have to kind of be like, you're in a relationship, that means you're not. Yeah.
But isn't it great that your daughter...
Where are you going with this?
No. Isn't it great that your daughter is emulating you and your wife's relationship in some way? Like, doesn't that feel good that she's, like, fluid and, like, it is what it is and no, I like a girl?
It's a problem.
is your issue only that it's, like, you know what she's going to do?
It's because she's a mini you.
Yes. I mean, granted, I'm relieved that she's not going to get knocked up in high school like all my sisters did.
Well, you never know. She might go back to boys.
Oh, God.
She didn't say she was gay. She said she was bi.
She might be very fluid.
Stone, I do. I think she's doing the bi stepping stone because, right.
But that's awesome.
You'll just watch and see. And
it makes
support.
Me so nervous.
It's safer. Well, I don't know.
It does feel safer in a lot of ways.
I mean, listen, there are some real bonuses to her being lesbian versus
straight. Teen pregnancy is like one of my biggest fears.
Are you kidding?
One of my biggest fears.
I come from fertile people.
Yeah, and your life is ruined. Like everything changes.
Yeah.
Right. My cousin's parents did a lot of drugs in the 60s and 70s, right? And they were always open with her about drug use and like, okay, if you're going to do it, let us know, blah, blah, blah. And they kept the conversation going. And yes, she did it.
I was going to say, how'd that shake out?
And she called them whenever she was in trouble and it worked out really well for her.
Well,
you're open like that. And she feels confident enough to be like, actually, I'm with a girl now, you know, and that's big.
Well, I've had some fun parenting adventures with Romy. The first really crazy one was when her and her boyfriend, when they were like 6 or 7, essentially they were playing doctor, but they created video of it.
Wow.
Oh yeah. They videotaped themselves playing doctor.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh dear God. And I found it. And I was like, ha, ha, ha.
On your phone, probably?
He was on an iPad. I was like, holy shit. Oh. Our kids have created porn.
Not just porn, but child porn.
Kitty porn.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I called my friend. I'm like, you're going to have a talk with your son. But like,
you have any guilt over that? Because this is where my shit would come in, where I'd be like, oh my God, because we're two moms, they're going to think that we have a perverted daughter.
Getting to know the other parents is awesome. Because I'm like, our kids at one of our parties were upstairs playing doctor and they made a video and she's like, oh my God, thank God it was you. And I'm like, oh my God, thank God it was you.
Yeah.
Because I knew them well enough to know that they would not lose their shit.
Right.
Because if they were like friends that would, I would have not told them. I'm going to punish my own kid, but I'm not telling you jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they created a video and I actually took it as an opportunity to sit Romy down and have a long conversation about the video and what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And then I said, what questions do you have? mm-hmm. about this experience. And I said, do you have any questions about your friend? And she goes, yeah, where does the pee come out of? And I'm like, great question. Let me answer that. And so, you know, like we've always like, these yeah. are just the conversations
that's
we have.
That's a good one. I like that one.
And when it comes to like sex and our bodies, like we've always been like, I believe that a young woman should have a lot of confidence in her body and feel yeah. good about her body. Mm-hmm. And so I have always really talked very openly and honestly about body stuff and right. sex stuff. Like Romy knows more about sex than probably any 11-year-old should.
Yeah.
But she knows, like we watched a movie the other day together, Eighth Grade, which was awesome, by the yeah. way.
I hear it's really good.
It really does really demonstrate what it's like to raise a kid in eighth grade and kind of some of the social pressures they're under. But one of the scenes in the movie is this girl is asked if she gives blowjobs by this kid she has a crush on. And she said yes, because she didn't know what it was. And then she went home and researched it and was grossed out. And so then I said to Romy, I'm like, got any questions? And she's like, yeah, what's a blowjob? And I'm like, well, here it is. And I just spelled it out. She's like, that's disgusting. And yeah. I said, yes. And when you have oral sex as a woman with another, like someone goes down on you, then they're doing this. And she's like, oh my God, you and mom do that? And I'm like, oh, I didn't expect that response, but God. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So like we just talk about this.
Jamie and I are like, oh.
Listen, I always
thought you have to nowadays.
I always thought I would be like Earth Mother, talk about all this stuff. You know, I'm San Francisco, California girl. And I just had to explain to Rose that babies come out of vaginas. And I was so uncomfortable for this whole conversation. Yeah. I don't know why this is so hard. All this stuff about vaginas and penises with your children.
Shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be at all. But I was uncomfortable. Like, why am I uncomfortable talking to my daughter about a vagina and a baby coming out of it?
I have to say, like, I thought it was going to be really uncomfortable. And I'm actually handling it pretty well. Like, we had the book and we read the whole book together. And I had both kids. And it was like, we started off with parts. And like, the whole time, like I kept reading it. Maxine just kept going, oh my God, I'm freaking out. And then Henry kept like stopping me and raising his hand. He'd be like, mom. And I was like, yes, uh-oh. Henry. And he was like, so the eruption, I said, erection. He goes, yeah, I get those.
No.
I get them. Sometimes I get them in the bathtub. Oh, God. Sometimes nice. I get them.
That's then, a great, and he goes, that, and then it's he goes, awesome.
It's awesome. Goes, it's awesome. He goes,
you've seen them. I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm going to keep going now. And the whole time
see,
she's
that's
going,
uncomfortable.
Oh my God,
don't tell me you weren't a little bit uncomfortable.
I was laughing and I wish I was recording it. And then there was another thing he said too, or something about, he was like, he goes, mom. And I was like, yes, Henry. Cause he just like kept interrupting. He was like, the part where you put the penis in the vagina, he goes, if it's okay, I don't actually want to do that. Oh. And I was like, I said, that's okay.
That's
you
fine.
Don't have to do it. And he goes, okay, good. And then Maxine goes, I'm going to adopt because I'm freaking out. it was just the whole thing was hilarious.
I love it.
My 5-year-old was just like, so it's like a poop. It's like a poop. Like, they just poop them. Okay. We'll go with that.
Kind of.
Yeah. Poop from your vagina.
I always say to my friends, straight or gay, doesn't matter, when they're talking about sex with their kids. I'm like, would you let your kid drive your car without teaching them how to drive?
Right.
Yeah.
And totally. They're all like, no, of course not. I'm like, so why would you let your kid go into their sexual experience without ever teaching them about their bodies or about sex? Like you can't expect these kids to just know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to do stuff that they shouldn't or right. don't want to do.
Or they're going
right.
to learn from their friends who are misguided. Who don't know shit.
Yeah. Unless they're Romy and then she knows a lot.
I've been like worried lately and with something weird starting to talk about. I feel like, again, I've been referring a lot to Stacey and Shin, but I've been watching her feed and she keeps like her daughter keeps talking about it's my body. And I think that's because of Stacey and Shin's what happened to her. You know, she had been sexually assaulted. And so she's like teaching her. And I thought, God, like my daughter's just this loving, open person. And we're not really talking about that. Like we read some books you have to watch for people, whatever. But I'm like, how? So we've been trying to start that conversation of it's your body and you don't have to do things you don't want to do. And it's really difficult because she's a very trusting and just delightful little soul. Who's like, why would someone want to do something like that? And she was going to a sleepover and we didn't know the parents. Mm. And we were like, okay. So we had to be like, you never go into a room with a parent alone. And she was just like, well, why would that happen? And we were like, because sometimes some people are, and you don't know.
Right.
And it's like, but it's, I find those conversations much harder than the conversations about sex because it's like,
it's all hard.
I don't want to scare them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I want to inform them. So I don't want a girl who, or a boy who's doing something they don't want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that's, and I don't quite know
I mean, we always just teach Romy that her body is her own. She has to respect her body and that she ultimately is in control of her body mm-hmm. and that she holds all the power because
that's
it's
a good
hers.
Way to put it.
It's like, you know, you can give it away and, you know, you could give your body to somebody else, but, you know, you have to be sure that's what you want to do. You know, it's your power to give or to take away.
Mm-hmm. Like and, no one can you know, make you.
Yeah. No one. And if they do, then, you know, then they have crossed the line and, you know, there are things you can do about that. But, you know, we really try to empower her and like she, you know, she definitely, now that she knows she has the power, she's not afraid to use it. Like if you go and mess up her hair, she's like, don't touch my body. It's like, okay, well, all right. I guess I can't touch your body because you don't want your hair messed.
Yeah, well, that happened with my five-year-old too because we were on this, we had books and we were doing this whole my body thing and then the whole hair thing. And she's five. Mm-hmm. We have to do her fucking hair. Yeah. So then it's like, yeah, she's got a lot of hair and it gets to be a big fat mess. So
let her cut it all off like my daughter
Well,
did.
That's what
the
I say.
Then
we're going
to happen.
We're going to cut it off and then a tantrum ensues. So, you know, like, so we had to like scale it back a little bit because she's using it against us. It's my body. It's my body. I do what I want.
What we do with Romy is every summer we let her have, she chooses her haircut. She could do whatever she wants. If she's had a good school year, she could do whatever she wants. So this year she cut it all off. Like, wow. Like short, buzzed on the side. Like,
and you're all right then.
And I'm like, all right, this is what you want. It's your hair. This is your haircut. You do it. And when she wants to grow it out, we let her grow it out.
Yeah.
Like she's allowed, we give her a lot of control over things that are related to her body because you know, she's got to learn. It's mine.
Yeah.
All right. I have more questions for you guys.
Okay.
Do we have time? Can I keep asking you guys questions?
Let's do it. Let's do
one more question.
Okay. Here's my next question. How much did you hate being pregnant?
Hated it.
Oh my God. You are my people.
Yes.
I hated it. I used to refer to my baby as a parasite because it sucked all the good things out of me and my wife would get so mad at me.
Right.
And how mad did the rest of the world get at you? Because you're supposed to be acting like,
yes.
And
I was like, no,
I was miserable. I hated every aspect of being pregnant.
I didn't love it.
And I did not love my baby when she first came out. I'm going to be the first to admit it. Not many people will.
No, I had a hard time with my wife had our daughter. And that was a relationship that grew for me. So I feel
that's
you there.
Nice
I get
it.
I get it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even like her. I was so angry with her
I was
for making me feel
her.
So horrible. I was just like, I don't like you. It took
that's
me like a solid.
That's postpartum, Romy.
No, it didn't. Yeah. It didn't take long, but it took me like a solid 4 days to like her as a person. I'm like, okay, I'm done being mad at you, but you really fucking made my life suck for 9 months.
Pregnancy was hard.
I hate
pregnancy.
It.
Was
I really
hard.
Thought I was gonna be like rubbing my belly.
No, me
and
too.
Off into space.
Once again,
not.
Earth Mama. I thought I was gonna be all kinds of pregnant love, and I hated it. I hated
it.
It was very
hard. And my
hard.
Wife was the worst. Like, she would drink beer in front of me when all I wanted was a fucking beer. And she wouldn't even let me have a sip. And I'm like, I hate
she
you.
She didn't let
so,
you have a
oh,
sip?
Oh, no, she was the worst. And I was an unbearable pregnant person. Because I couldn't be unbearable at work. Because I always have to get along with my co-host. Because we host a show together. So I always had to be nice to him.
We don't always
so
get
I would,
along.
I would save all my anger and rage for home. And during, like, the last 3 weeks of my pregnancy, my mom showed up. And both my wife and this guy who was living with us at the time were so relieved to see my mom because they're like, you're the only one that can make her less crazy.
Can
it
you,
was true because I
her?
Was so mean. I was like, I hate everyone and everything. I was an angry
because you were uncomfortable.
Lady. I hated it. And I was huge. My baby came out at almost 11 pounds.
Oh, my God.
She was a giant.
My daughter was 8'11". I didn't give birth to her.
I did not have that. My kids were
but
6 pounds.
11 pounds.
Yeah, she was.
Your baby was double mine.
She had to be born via C-section because
mine
she was
too.
So gigantic
oh
she could
God.
Never really fall into position.
Yeah.
Because they tried. Oh, Lord knows they tried. But it was not happening.
No.
And then they took her out. And as soon as they got me open, they're like, oh, I see what the problem is. She's a giant. She weighed more than a set of twins combined that
right.
were born on the same day.
Oh, my God.
And wow. She was a like, I never had, like, that cute, like, sweet little baby
right,
experience.
Right.
Like,
I
gave birth to a toddler.
Listen, our daughter was big, too. Not as big as that. But I agree with you with that. We didn't get that sweet little newborn
time. Yeah, there
was
time. No newborn.
And I'm a small person to
you
start
are.
With.
Yeah.
So this baby was toddler size. From I could never even wear the Bjorn with her because she was already
yeah.
too big.
Oh, Romy was
I didn't
huge.
Have that. I had the regular size little girl.
My
baby
son
came out quick
is and, normal baby size, yeah. especially for me and my body. So it's, like, fitting. But
yeah.
my daughter was way too big for me. I didn't know what to do.
I loved it though, because she slept through the night almost from the get-go.
Oh, so don't talk to me.
Yeah, that part was nice. I will say, I hated it at first, but then it real grew on me real fast. I was like, oh yeah, this isn't so bad.
The first night we brought her home, she screamed the entire night.
Oh.
The entire. That was a rude awakening.
You must have been like, I'm taking this baby back.
We called the hospital in the middle of the night when we were all in the bathroom with the hair dryer and the faucet going, and our dog was howling because she didn't know what the fuck was going on. Our daughter was screaming. So I didn't know a baby could scream as loud as she was, and she did it literally the entire. Nobody slept. The first night we brought her, we called the hospital. Something's wrong with her. And they were like, she's just a baby. Yeah.
That's not good. That sucks.
That sounds awful.
So don't talk to me about your child sleeping through the night.
The only thing I hated about Romy when she was a baby is she had the most shrill, high-pitched cry.
God, doesn't that like, doesn't that like just, to this day when I hear a baby cry, it's like sends shivers down.
I hate it. I'm like,
It's like hard. PTSD.
It's so hard.
Oh, I'm so happy to be. I liked having a baby, but I'm super happy to be not in that stage anymore.
I have a baby.
Like, I like having a
baby. I would like another baby, but then I think about it and I'm like, would I really?
Yeah, so you didn't want to have another one. You just wanted
We did want to have another one.
We didn't talk about this.
We actually started the process of having another one.
Oh.
And it turned out that I was going to end up caring again, even though I was not happy about it. Because my wife is a pussy and it's like, it's going to hurt. And you made pregnancy look so horrible. I don't want to have any part of it. I'm like, whatever, fuck you. So we did start to go through the process of having another one. And then we were two cycles in and my mom died.
Oh, my mom
had been a huge part of our life up until that point, especially with Romy. Because like Romy was like 2.5, 3. Mm. And I was like, I can't do this right now.
Yeah.
And so I just stopped cold turkey. I was like, nope, now the timing's not right. It's not going to happen.
And then you were just like, this is fine.
And then we never got back on the horse.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, it takes so much to like prep for it and everything. And I was like, I don't have it.
And then once you get to a certain point, you're going back.
Yeah.
Like, our kids are 2 years apart and like Jamie's going back to certain things. And I'm always like, God, how do you go back? Like,
my kids are 4 years apart.
How do you go back?
Yeah.
That was my wife's always her thing. She's like, I don't want to carry around diaper bags anymore. Like,
we don't carry a diaper bag. We don't pack a diaper bag. Many times I show up places and say, ooh, shit, I don't have a diaper. Do you guys have a diaper?
And how, like, do you survive?
Like, we don't have children. No,
I don't have. We are really dropping the ball with this whole having a baby thing. Like, we don't have a diaper bag. I pack things in my purse as I leave the house. So whatever I remember,
you must have a giant purse.
No, and I don't even have a purse. I don't carry a purse. So I remember.
But you don't have a baby with you.
Well,
so.
Actually, it's usually a backpack.
This is like a second child thing, though, right?
Yeah.
You need to stop carrying. And it's like the first one, you get all the pictures taken, you do all that stuff right, and then the second one, you're like, yeah.
I think that's an age thing because ours were close. So it was like you were still in diapers.
You still had all that.
And I hadn't been out of a diaper bag so long. It wasn't that, you know.
But Anne is like anti-diaper bag. She hates them all. None of them ever worked for us.
They really don't work right.
For him, we asked for like this backpack diaper bag so it could be less like ugly and weird. Mm. But even that didn't work for Anne and me, I will say. So we just don't use a bag. We just pack what we need as we go. Sometimes we remember a toy for him. Sometimes we don't.
I feel like the second one for me is like a lot more about like, I have the expectations of him that are the same as his sister. And that's like not at
all
fair.
No, you can't do that.
And it's like, and also like just kind of like rules get lax. You're just like, it's fine. I know we were able to stop that until she was 5, but for you, it's like, it's, you're all right now. It's like, you know, you got a sense of it. Don't, you know, like.
Oh, my mom says this. My mom says, you guys were crazy about her touching your radiator. You guys were like crazy diligent about keeping her away from the radiator, which I never understood. And your son is all over that damn radiator. And I was like, really?
Yeah. So you're like, it's fine.
He goes and touches, I go, hot.
And then like he probably won't do that again.
No, he goes, I told you, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah. No, it is.
All right, so here are the things that are going to happen.
Okay.
One, we're going to be at your house for a party.
Yeah.
Two, I think we're going to need to go to the Derek and Romaine cruise. I think we're going to need to do
that. We're going to do
that. I'm telling you 100% certainty. you need to do it.
Yeah.
And folks, the Derek and Romaine show is their show. And so you need to go to their website.
Yes. Yep. DerekandRomaine.com.
Yeah. Derek and Romaine. And you need to like get, you know, go to their cruise and like subscribe to
also,
the,
we haven't mentioned, well, we've mentioned Derek a lot. And I already felt bad that he wasn't invited to this, but he's not a gay mom. So
he's
like,
not.
Or a gay dad.
Not that either.
So tell him if he wants to come on our podcast, he has to have a kid.
Well, thank but, you for okay, coming. Yeah.
Of course,
like
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting
me. This has been good. This has been, we could talk for hours because this is what you do and this is kind of what we do. So this is a problem.
It's kind of what we do. And also game on, we're going to win.
Nah.
Woo! Ooh, she's something else.
She's a powerhouse.
She is. She's fun.
I mean, listen, Derek and Romaine, put us back in your
show.
We
need to come back.
I know.
Derek, we had something here. We had something.
We've got some kind of a rapport.
Romaine, bring us back.
Do you think it's one-sided? Like that we just are, we love them and they're like, we beat you.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well.
Okay.
Anyway.
Listen, we're used to it at this point in our lives.
Let's get happy again.
Speaking of happy, Tiffany and Carissa.
Tiff and Chris.
Is it time to play your little jingle?
The little jingle. Jingle.
Little jingle head, my baby. Jingo ain't my baby.
With the piano stylings of Seiko Akita underneath me, I have to say again.
Hit it.
Tiff and Chris are having a baby.
So after looking through a lot of possibilities in a couple of cryobanks.
In particular, Carissa looking at a bunch of possibilities.
Pouring over.
A bunch of cryobanks.
Bios and etc. We found one and there are a lot of reasons, big and small, that we went with this particular donor. We ended up going with someone who
is mixed race.
Yeah. After our list ended up including white donors, black donors, Latinx donors, and we realized
black and Latinx donors
combos thereof.
Yes. Ew.
And we realized
quite partial
by the time we found him. By the time we found this particular donor, we realized that we weren't, that wasn't a huge reason.
Yeah, we ended up,
we picked him.
It ended up not like the donor that we did pick, we ended up picking them based up on their like value system, quite frankly. Yeah. The things that they wrote, this person wrote about as like not only what they did for a living, but also some of their values. I think for me personally, what really stuck out was their values around work and life. They very intentionally were like working a position and had a career in something that was very much a passion. But I think the other thing I just appreciated, which is something we both really appreciated, was what this person said about, hey, if you want to reach out to me when you get older, like he specifically was speaking to
donor
conceived kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. From his samples, like literally said, hey, if you want to reach out, be it because you're curious or for a bevy of other reasons he listed, but he specifically spoke to because you're curious about your ancestry, which is something that I think both Krista and I do a lot of work around, just kind of taking a look at what happened to the people and with the people who made the people who made us, you know? Yeah. That's important. And ancestry is something that it plays a big role in our lives in ways that sometimes we don't even think about. And so it's nice to know that somebody is being intentional in that way.
Yeah.
Because ancestry is it means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. And I am sure that we'll raise our kids
in that tradition.
It'll mean a lot to them too, I'm sure. So
this will help because this person's feelings on that are evident and line up with ours.
Yeah, for sure.
And using that information to inform your life and to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
So that's, I did not see that coming.
No, no, especially because we talked so much
about ethnicity and mm-hmm. how they were going to land.
Mm-hmm. But it makes sense.
Yeah. Fascinating that they ended up just choosing based on the person. Like that seemed, it really falls in line with the interview mm-hmm. with them.
It's the search for Superman. And then what really matters about all of this.
If you haven't listened to the Tiffany and Carissa, it's episode 2 of the season. Go back and listen. Cause yeah. they're going to be with us all season.
Mm-hmm.
Their journey. Until they have a baby, we're going to be hounding them for clips.
I know. And then maybe we just keep going.
Yeah. And it'd then be it's like, just like,
it'd be like if these ovaries could talk reality show.
Oh guys. Well, listen, before we leave you, we do want to talk about a podcast that we just found that we're really loving.
It's called Strong Feelings.
We have strong feelings, Jamie, don't we?
We have really strong feelings. About everything. And everybody knows.
Well, this is two best friends and business partners, Sarah and Cattell. And they've got this like weekly show where they're talking about feminism
and bullshit in the workplace.
All kinds of bullshit.
All kinds of stuff. So, you know, check it out.
And their tagline is because life's too short to bottle things up. That's a good tagline.
Well, I think that's kind of us too. We don't buy, I mean, why bottle it up?
Very samesies. Let's listen to the a trailer from their podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have strong feelings? I sure do. My name is Sarah Wachter-Betcher, and I'm here with my best friend, Cattell Adu.
Hey, y'all.
We're the hosts of Strong Feelings, a podcast about work, feminism, and friendship.
Every week, we talk about the stuff that really matters, like unfucking your work life or taking better care of your brain and body than just swigging wine and smearing on another face mask.
Wait, I can still do that sometimes though, right?
Totally, but you have to invite me.
Okay, deal. We will also be talking about all the ways we're confronting our own bullshit, like how we're unlearning body shame or breaking out of the comfort of white feminism.
And you'll hear intimate conversations with authors, artists, activists, and entrepreneurs. We'll ask them why they do what they do and what happens when it gets hard.
So check out Strong Feelings, your weekly dose of fun feminist real talk with the best friends you didn't know you were missing. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or check us out at strongfeelings.co because life's too short to bottle things up.
Great. Well, you're going to want to check that out.
Strong feelings, guys.
I have them. So do you.
Now you just need to listen to them. All right. Listen, if you want to follow us on the social media, how do they do that, Jamie?
Well, Robin, they should hit us up on the Twitter at Ovaries Talk.
Sure.
Facebook, if these ovaries could talk.
Sure.
Instagram, Ovaries_talk. Mm-hmm. And you can always just hit us up at our email, ovariestalk@gmail.com.
And while you're doing it, send us an email to ask questions about if you've noticed I zoned out while Jamie was giving that information.
You can't zone out because I might screw it up.
I just wandered off. I hope you did it right.
I'm sure I did.
Don't forget to rate and review us, folks. We love that.
A positive one. So,
thank you. Okay.
Ovaries.
Out. What? If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.